This is the cassette tape number 1064/30, the final one in a series on the second year Greek class, sponsored by the Bible for Today from the Baptist Bible Institute and the Baptist Bible Seminary, 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is the 15th week. It's the 19th day of May, 1983. It's the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verses 1 through 25, and Dana and Maddie Grammar Book, pages 293 to 303. This is the concluding lesson of our second-year Greek class. The teacher, Dr. D.A. Waite, Director, Bible for Today, 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. Word of prayer as we begin our class tonight. Dear Lord, we thank Thee for the word Thou hast given us and the knowledge of the Greek language that Thou hast enabled us to learn thus far. We thank Thee for this group of students that Thou hast brought with us this entire 2 years. And for Ralph, we pray for him, Lord, who's been with us the first year. We ask, Lord, as we come to our last class prior to the exam, that Thou wilt bless us and use Thy word in our hearts and lives, and continue to bless Mr. Arson as he works with this language and his blindness and with these cassettes. Be with Bill as he continues to pursue his call to the ministry and in the service of Christ the King. We pray for Ruth. And thank Thee for her as she's helped us in our Bible for the day so very much. And now as she's learned this language so well, and bless her ministry and teaching the women and the girls and the young people that are under her charge, wherever this may be in service for Christ. Now help us tonight as we take this final lesson in John. And bless Thy word to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we have the last chapter of John, 21 tonight. And we'll take that. Ruth asked about Apostolo and Pimpo. I thought I'd look that up here while we were waiting. Thank you, by the way, Ruth, for picking up Mr. Arson and taking care of him. Theological Dictionary of the New Testament by Kittle. It's got about 12 volumes, or how many volumes? I don't remember. 6 volumes, 8 volumes, whatever. And on page 398 here, in this volume 1 it is, Apostolo and then Pimpo is there, see? In secular Greek, it gives that. Apostelein means to send forth, together with the simple stelein, and along with pempane, is well attested both in the literature and common speech of the classical period, and so on. They go into detail on that, page 398, 399. And then apostelein pempo in the LXX is a Septuagint Old Testament. Apostelein occurs more than 700 times. It's a variant with ex apostelein. And shalak is the Hebrew there, and so on. And then it goes into the apostello and pempo in the New Testament, final one. In the New Testament, apostellin occurs 135 times, and so on. Alongside of it is pempane occurring 80 times. Of these, 33 in the fourth gospel. So when we review the material, we first note that there's a special occurrence of pempane in the fourth gospel, which demands separate treatment. Otherwise, the Lucan writings predominate. Now, as to the meaning, let's see if we can get down into that area. They give great detail as far as the things. Special position in John's Gospel. Here, apostelein seems to be used quite promiscuously. And I guess that's French, promiscuous. Promiscuously, yeah. With pempane. Thus, to denote his full authority to the Jews and the disciples, Jesus used apostelein, since he thereby shows that behind his words in person there stands God and not merely his own pretension. Again, in prayer, he uses the same term to describe his relationship to God. Yet in close proximity to it, he uses pempane, as well as in such a way that there is no self-evident distinction. Closer investigation, however, shows us that when the Johannine Jesus, this is a modernistic apostate, these guys, I tell you, anytime you get a language book,
sometimes I speak in 3 and 4 languages.
Yeah.
Every word in another language.
But you see, this every time you get a book that's with language, whether it's Hebrew or Greek or whatever, watch the theology of these fellows. Mostly are Germans, like Kittle, and they're rank apostates, many of them, as far as theology. It's Johannine Jesus, if there's any other type. He uses pempane speaking of ascending by God. He does so in such a way to speak of God as the pempsos men. This usage is wholly restricted to God, being sometimes amplified to ho pempsos men pater. When speaking of himself, he uses other forms of pempane. So, at first sight, it's extremely odd and so on, explained as follows. But it's a big, long thing, and it doesn't come really right to grips and give the contrast, which I'm sure it's there somewhere, but I think he's almost saying it. He uses them indiscriminately. See, he's not saying that the words have distinct meaning. It seems, you know, as far as John, promiscue, which is promiscuously and intermixed. You know, that is
so when the Lord uses them both in one sentence, there
that's
must
right.
Be
there must be a distinction, sure.
Distinction.
And I'm sure in this long article they go into detail as to what's what, but to digest it, I didn't have a chance to look over all the several pages, about seven.
I'll peruse it tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll take it tomorrow. Maybe you can find out what he's talking about. All right, let's take our first verse then of the Gospel of John chapter 21. Let's see, that's Bill's turn. We'll try Bill tonight first.
The Gospel of John chapter 21. John 21:1. Μετά τούτα εφανέρωσεν χαρωτών πάλιν ο Ιησούς τοις μαθηταίς επί τες θαλάσσες τες Τιβεριάδος εφανέρωσε δε χούτος.
All right.
I feel that he has to give them a teach.
Yes. Read that, please, then, Bill.
Μετά τούτα εφανέρωσεν χαρωτών πάλιν ο Ιησούς τοις μαθηταίς επί τες θαλάσσες τες
Tiberiados.
Tiberiados. Εφανέρωσε.
Εφανέρωσε.
Νέρωσε. De Hutos. After these things, Jesus again.
I find also
find it wrong.
Well, you find out to appear. See,
okay. appeared himself to the disciples.
Or manifested himself, or showed himself, you know.
Himself?
Uh-huh. Okay. Caused himself to appear, or showed himself, or manifested, all right?
To the disciples near the set lake, or
the sea
of Tiberias.
All right. Go ahead.
He showed himself thus, or
He showed himself thus in this manner. All right, and Phanerosen is the aorist of Phanerao to manifest, to show, and so on. Now this is what Westcott in his books, the Gospel of the Resurrection and the Revelation of the Risen Lord, is taking just as a sort of a phantom type thing. I've begun the first two pages of this tonight of the, I call it the clever denial of the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ by Bishop Brooke Foss Westcott, 1825-1901. Those are his dates. Brief analysis of Westcott's two books, Gospel of Resurrection, 1866, and the Revelation of the Risen Lord, 1881. But he's very clever in his denial. But see, he used the word manifest. If it's not a real, he just thinks it's an appearance, you know. But this is, he manifested, he showed himself forth, just like it says in John and other places, this word is used, you know, in the Bible, and it's a complete showing. He appeared, and there he was, see? And it's just like somebody coming to your house and makes his appearance, you see? So I don't like the way he uses his words, appearances, and so on, and tries to make this out to be a phantom type of thing. Though in order for the people, being humans, to register with them, they had to have some sensory perception, therefore it had to be in sort of a bodily look, but it really wasn't. It was just for their purpose.
Oh, he was accommodating himself.
That's right, accommodating himself. Mm-hmm. He changed himself one form one time, one form another time. It's really heretical. Yeah. But I really I'm starting to write it now. I finished looking up and reading and analyzing and making comments to the side and so on, and then underlining in red certain things that stand out today and yesterday. Now I've got down to writing. It has to be finished by
next week to Monday or so, you know, because he's ready. Dr. Rasmussen's ready to, wants to use it, and I think it'd be good to have it finished by then. So hopefully this weekend we'll do that. But this was manifest himself as really to declare. It's bodily manifestation.
Yeah. I have a question, Doctor. The Sea of Tiberias is not the same as the Sea of Galilee?
Yes, same thing, yeah. Tiberias is one of the cities up there, so they say Sea of Tiberias, but it's the same as Sea of Galilee, exactly. Tiberias is one of the main cities, and so it takes its name from it. But this Phanerao,
is there anything that word that would make it different than just showed? Or does it mean something more ephemeral?
I don't think so.
Not this when he came and gave them fish to eat?
Yeah,
this Mark 4:22, for instance, nothing here that shall not be made manifest. Manifested, you know, completely revealed, you know. He appeared, he should have made manifest. John 1:31, that he should be made manifest. Manifested forth his glory, John 2:11, you know. 3:21, that his deeds may be manifest. To show thyself to the world, 7:4, manifest thyself. The works of God may be manifest. What do you have there, Ruth, on the meaning of it here?
It says here on John 21:1-14, passive, to make an appearance. To make an appearance.
John 1 here, 1 1?
John 21, verse 1 and verse 14.
A phanero sin. That's an active.
It says passive, to make an appearance. Or maybe that's for, no, that's for, to present to view. That was for the next. To present to view.
You see, this is the very same word in 1 Timothy 3:16. God was manifest in the flesh, seen of angels. See? Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That's just as clear. That's a real flesh incarnation, see? And it's the same thing. So that's right. So that's a very important distinction.
It's used.
Oh, he's a very subtle, you know, like appearance. Of course, he was a member. He and Westcott, or Horde, rather, I understand, of the Ghost Guild, which is a spiritist table hopping organization.
Well, that was big in those days.
That's right. So he was into spiritism, and there's one portion in his book that says we can communicate now with the departed.
Really?
And he means Christ. You see, he was a departed one, and so the disciples could communicate with him by a little bit of hocus pocus, and so now we can do the same. See? Strange. But I'm going to be interested to get into that. And actually, right, I'll be glad to see it when it's finished. And, you know, when it's all in that book there, and on different pages, it's very elusive. But to put it down and to get it and make it make sense, that's what I'm endeavoring to do and hope it'll be clear. All right, go ahead, Ruth. Pardon that long introduction on number one. We'll go with number two.
John 21:2. Asan Hamu Simo Petros Kai Thomas Hologomenos Didymos, Kai Nathanael, Ho Apo Kana Tes Galileas, Kai Hoi Tu Zebedaiu, Kai Aloi Ekton Mazeton, Autu Dio. John 21:3.
Okay, pardon. Go ahead,
Ruth. Eson, Hamu, Simon, Petras, Kai Thomas, Ho Legamenos, Didymos, Kai Nathanael, Apokana tes Galileas kai hoi tu Zebedaiu kai alloi ekton metheton autu tuo. Simon Peter and Thomas, who's called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, and the ones of, or sons of, I suppose, Zebedee, and two others of other disciples, were together.
Where do you got? Asan Hum. Okay. That's good. So Asan is what, Ruth?
That is, that's where it being, that's imperfect, isn't it?
Imperfect of Amy, right. Legomenos, present passive of Lego. All right, so how many of them were there all together? If you had a chance to count.
1, 2, 3. Well, we don't know how many of 70, I guess 2.
Yeah, 2. Yeah.
Five, six, seven.
All right, 2 of them. There's 7 of them out of 11 that were left. So John, 4 were not there.
John and James.
Yeah, James and John, right?
James and John.
Either one, yeah, John and James. So, all right, they were there. Now, that's the sad thing, that they're all out doing something else. All right, Bill, do you want to take number three for us, please?
Legi autois simon petros hypago haliawain. Legosin auto erchonotha kai hemes sin soi. Exelthon kai anabesan esto ploion erfis. Kai enekene te nukti epiasan uden.
All right.
Simon Peter says, or said to them, I go to fish. They say to him, we come also with you. They came and...
Or went out. Mm-hmm.
Okay, they went out and went up into, went up immediately into the boat, and in that night, what's a piasan?
To catch or took, to take, okay. Grab onto, which means fish case, it would be catching and fishing.
They caught nothing.
Mm-hmm. They caught nothing, they took nothing. All right, that's verse 3. He is a present of Lego. And Haliawain, a present of Haliawo, the verb to fish. And Legusin is a present of Lego. Archomatha, the present middle of Erchomai. Exelthon, the aorist of Exergomai. And Ebesan, the aorist of Anabino, or Embino, rather, Embino, to be embarked, to really embark, actually. And a piasan, the aorist of piazzo, to take or to catch, in this case, fish. All right, any other comments or questions on three?
Yes, I have a question.
Yes.
How do you take this, that Peter led them to go again to fish? But the Lord is already risen from the dead and we don't have him anymore, or what?
Well, I think they went back to their old occupation. Maybe they weren't too interested in following the Lord and catching men again. Mm-hmm. I think that's the thing.
Well,
they were discouraged.
The Lord gave them the Great Commission.
Yeah, they were discouraged, and so
they were discouraged.
Yeah,
yes.
I think that's it. All right, anything else? All right, we go fishing. I go fishing, and some have rendered that. I go back to fishing. You know, I am going fishing and I'm continuing what I used to do. In that sense, certainly that is true.
The occupation fishing. Of, you mean?
Yeah, maybe the occupation of, yes. Maybe, see. Possibly based upon the present infinitive there of Haliawo, I go to continue my fishing, you know, to keep right on fishing. See, not just to fish once in the aorist tense of, you know, but just
like just to catch my food on.
That's right. But I'm going back to the business. Isn't that something? Almost like putting your hand to the plow and then looking back and you're not fit to the game of death. All right, Ruth, take number 4, please.
John 21:4.
Short one.
Croias de ede genomenes. Este ha Jesus eston agialon.
All right. Is that the end?
Yeah.
O mentor, edesan, hoi mapetai, hot Jesus esti.
All right.
But it had already become morning. Jesus stood on the shore. The disciples, however, had not known that it was Jesus, or it is Jesus.
All right. This is 4. Genomenes is what Ruth said.
Aorist participle.
Well, that's the present. Because again, we have the gin, do we? Let me
see. We have the
gin. Oh, there's a textual change. Again, you're right. That is aorist participle. Genominus. Yeah, the other has the gin, see? So that's that would be the present, but this would be the aorist, is right. Having become dawn or the day or so on. All right. Este.
Aorist.
All right, aorist of history to stand. Edison
is
what?
Edison is perfect.
Pardon me?
Perfect, isn't it?
That'd be poo perfect, see, because the epsilon iota, Edison, anyway, that's your regular void. And of course, Eston is the present of Ami. Now, if he was standing there, histe, to stand, you see, and it's Jesus, it's not a ghost, it's not a disembodied spirit, it's not something that's different, it's a real physical bodily resurrection. There he is.
Well, and it says here he was already standing there before they saw him, really.
That's right.
So that it just wasn't that he was accommodating to them.
No, he was there all the time. And they,
that's what it seems
just,
to say.
Right. Strange how people can rend the word. Yes. Okay, Bill, take number 5, please.
John 21:5. Legeun autois o Jesus. Paideia, meti, prospagion, ekete. After kritisan auto, u. John.
All right.
Then Jesus said to them, children, you do not have any, what's that,
prospagion? It says anything to eat,
anything
food,
to eat.
You know.
They answered him, no.
This is Meti, so expecting the answer, what?
No.
You certainly don't have anything, do you?
That's right, you don't have.
He knew that he didn't. They said no. Is that the end of that verse?
Mm-hmm.
Right, and ooh, of course, he asked with a may, but the ooh is a strong negative, stronger than may, that is. So that's what he had there. All right, that would be 5. What did ekete, present of echo, and apokritesan, the aorist passive, apokrinimas. So he made answer. And he wondered if they had any food, any prospagion, meat or fruit or substance to eat. And they didn't. So he knew he was going to provide for them. All right. It says later on they were about 200 cubits from, wasn't it cubits from shore? It seems like.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, so that would be, if it's a cubit, it'd be 300 feet, which would be 100 yards. A foot and a half. Yeah, it'd be a foot and a half, roughly 18 inches from the elbow to the fingertip, usually, a cubit of a man. So that'd be about 300 feet, be 100 yards, the length of a football field, see, which is really a short distance out when you think of the Sea of Galilee. But it's long enough so that unless you had 20/20 vision, and then some, huh? No, I wouldn't know. 100 yards, unless you were a good swimmer, it wouldn't bother me, but some of it would. And it's, you know, depending on what the shadow situation was and how it had become dawn, and the light, how the light was. I mean, you were, and furthermore, who are you expecting to see? See, when you have a friend that you haven't seen for years, all of a sudden he appears in the church service or something, and you. You know, you're surprised. You weren't looking for him. You don't even recognize. Not that he's a phantom, or not that he's so changed. He's not even the same person, which is what Westcott's trying to make out of it. See, he thinks that the only way they recognize him is because they were believers, and they had to get adjusted to it, and then they had this hope, something inside of them, internal almost. And he says that no unbeliever can see him after he's resurrected. Well, that means he doesn't believe in the bodily resurrection of the Lord, then, because obviously any unbeliever, whether he's a believer or unbeliever, has nothing to do with the sight of the eyes. If it's a real bodily
silence, isn't
yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
See, he said it's only for believers, and only with the eye of faith can he be seen. Well, and we can see him today with the eye of faith. See, so he spiritualized the whole thing.
Yeah.
And, oh, he's clever. He's a clever. It's the danger of not the frontal denial, direct denial, but it's the denial by redefinition of terms. That's what Jerry Falwell was, a dangerous position he has in fundamentalism. It's not that he denies fundamentalism, like Billy Graham, very honestly, says, I'm a new evangelical, I want new evangelicalism, I'm not a fundamentalist. That's an outright denial. You can deal with that. You can fight that on its own grounds. But
what?
But Jerry, this is Billy Graham, but you see, even though we don't agree with him, but Jerry Falwell says, I am a fundamentalist. See, I am a fundamentalist. Just a minute, I'll be finished. And then he redefines what fundamentalism is, and by redefining it, he just does away with the whole term. See, that's the dangerous situation they face. And so it is, the apostates, you say, I don't believe in the bodily resurrection of the Lord, right? Outright.
Mm-hmm.
But this fellow, he redefines what the resurrection is, and when you finish, he doesn't have a frontal attack, he redefines it, and it's very confusing. Mm-hmm. Yes, Mr. Arsene, what are you saying?
You remember in this speech which I gave to you to read, he said that I was with the National Council of Churches, and I am with. Now he switched with the new evangelicals.
Who, Billy Graham?
Billy Graham, yeah.
Well, I mean, that's he was one of the founding fathers, you might say, with Al Ockeghem was the founding father of New Evangelicalism in 1949, and Billy Graham was his evangelist, and so he is not a fundamentalist, and he makes no boast of it, but he's called an evangelical, see. So he goes with the National Council and speaks to them, sure, that's true. But he still, that's what a new evangelical does. He walks with the National Council and the World Council and the apostate groups, speaks to them, and he goes with the evangelicals and speaks to them. So he's both, he doesn't believe in separation, that's it.
I thought that this is something new, not to be with the fundamentals, not to be with the modernists.
Yeah, he's new evangelical. That's his old time stance. He's a Southern Baptist, and as such, they pride themselves in not being in the National Council, not being in the World Council, but they're in the Baptist World Alliance, which is filled with modernists and apostates and everything else, and so on. All right, so that was on. He's standing there very clearly on the shore. All right, Ruth, was it number six?
A
long one there for the
21:6. Father Aiken, our place. Palate esta dexia, mere tu ployu, to dictuon, kai heresete, ebalon un, kai uketi auto, helcusai, iscusan, apo tu plefus, ton ethuon.
All right.
But he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and ye will find.
Notice that the ta and mere is plural, isn't it? To the right parts, the right sides of the verbs, isn't it? Ta mere. Oh, go ahead. And you're fine. Go ahead. Is that the end?
No.
Oh, okay.
What is the significance of that?
Well, I don't know. In other words, apparently on the starboard side, and of course it just sounds of the right parts and regions. He doesn't say which sector. See, whether, you know, abaft the beam or, you know, the bow or the stern, but just the parts that lie to the right. All right?
Then they were casting, and they were not.
No, really, it would be cast, wouldn't it? Ebalon, the airs?
No, is it?
Isn't it? Because the balo with a double lambda, huh? Is that right?
Let me see. Six.
Yeah, the airs, wouldn't it? See, the single lambda, the double lambda would be a balo. Okay.
And they did not have strength to draw it. Is that how you
mm-hmm.
say it?
Yeah, I would think so.
For the multitude of the fish.
Okay. Okay, they have a plural on them, the King James, the fishes. All right, that's six. Apen, of course, the aorist of Lego. Balate is what they're...
Aorist imperative.
All right, aorist and balo because of the single lambda. And even though the eta looks very much like, you know, balata, you know, but balata, because it's the second aorist, that's why. Ebalon, balata. And heuresete is what?
Future?
That's right. Future for heuresco. Future heuresete with a sigma. And then Ebalon, as we discussed, is heiress to Apollo. Mm-hmm. Heurkusai is what? Heurkusai. The sigma and the alpha and yoga.
It would be heiress.
Be heiress from Helkuo, and Helkusai, right?
Is that infinitive?
It's an infinitive. Not having strength to draw, to pull up.
Is that the same draw as no man can come unto me except the Father?
Yes, it is, Helkuo. I believe it's exactly the same. And John 6 something, isn't it? John 6, yes it is. I believe it's...
I finally lifted up.
I will draw all men unto me, that's right. I guess John,
same
Helkuo, I believe it is. John 6, wasn't it the first one? 6 was 44. No man cometh unto the Father except the Father sent me to draw him.
644.
Okay, 644. Yes, Helkusai. 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 That's it. Helkuo. Mm-hmm. It's that draw, that mm-hmm. pull, you see, draw up the net. All right. Any other comments, questions on 6 before we go on to 7?
With this, on the right side of the ployu, mm-hmm. the ship, I will consider in some places about that Lord Jesus is in heaven, on the right side of the Father.
That's right, the right hand of God.
On the right side, never on the left.
That's right, right hand of God. It's that place of honor, isn't it? Place of.
I believe that this is with the fish too.
Yeah. Well, maybe so.
He collected the fish on the right side.
Yeah, he picked them. He certainly did. He knew where they were. Okay. Let's see. Is it Bill for 7?
John 21:7. Lege un homotetes ekenos on agapa ho Jesus to Petro, ho curios esti, Simon un Petros, acusos, hoti ho curios esti, ton epen dutein diezosato, engar gymnos, kai evalen helton estein thalasan.
Alright.
Therefore, that disciple who Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Then Simon Peter heard that the Lord is.
It is the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Having heard that it is the Lord. Mm-hmm.
Where's that Tom Appenduti?
It's the coat. Appenduo is to put on, and to something you put on, see.
It's the zoe
to gird it around like a girdle, zoe. Mm-hmm. The zone, you see, to put around, wrap around. It's
wrapped around the coat, then, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
For it was.
That would be, I think his upper garment, or outer garment, I should say, an upper garment also. Okay. Go ahead.
For he was naked, and he cast himself into the sea.
Mm-hmm. Naked in the sense of he had no outer garments, just the undergarments, you know, that was in that particular. Time frame was nakedness, and just like we wouldn't go out in the outer doors with underwear on, obviously, although the bikinis and the some of these beach wear are just right next thing to it, eventually, just as well. But you know, they had some shame in those days, and this was nakedness. And so, working out there, he didn't care with underclothing, it was presentable, there was nothing wrong with it, but it just wasn't proper in polite society when you weren't out. Doing your work, apparently. But agapa,
as he was the oldest of them.
Yes, he was. Agapa is the imperfect of agapao. And let's see, that was the seven, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Seven. Whom Jesus loved, was loving. See, he apparently, strange, the Lord would put his special love upon John, or maybe John was just being writing it here. But apparently that's the truth, that's the word of God. It's not the Johannine Jesus, it's the scriptural truth. Akousas, of course, the aorist participle of akouo, diazosata is the aorist middle of diazonomi, to wrap yourself around and to dress yourself. Ebalan is the aorist of balo. So he put upon his garment and he recognized it was the Lord.
Jumped in the water.
Yes, he recognized it was the Lord and he said, "It is the Lord." I mean, there's no question. That it was some strange person or character, and this was from 100 yards away, see? Now, obviously, he wasn't expecting the Lord's resurrection, although he went to see that the Lord was not there, so he knew he wasn't there at the tomb. Remember, we read that. John and Peter
had gotten the report from the women at the
Sure.
time.
In fact, he had gone in and seen, remember?
Right.
John, and so he knew he wasn't there. But where he was, I don't know, before this, he had actually seen him. I'm not certain of the chronology. See, now, in the upper room, you know, he appeared with the disciples on one Lord's Day evening, first day of the week, and Thomas wasn't there. And then he appeared the next week, 8 days later, another week, and Thomas was there, and he showed him his hands. But whether that was before this or after this, I really don't have the chronology exact. But he wasn't expecting him, but when he heard the voice, he didn't think anything. But when he cast her down on the right side, and then he got the fishes, then he, wait a minute. He probably thought through things. This is unusual. Yes. I don't know. Okay, so anyway, he did recognize him. There was no question on that that score. All right, Bill, is it?
John 21:8.
Or
alloy mathetai to ploiario elphon ugar esan makan. Apo des geis, ahos apo pechon diakosion, surontes ta dictuon, ton dictuon.
I might just say before we take eight, the casting and throwing himself into the water in the lake and swimming there, he really was exuberant, wasn't he? Apparently, even in his older age, He was older, yet he knew how to swim, and he wanted to come through fast. And apparently he knew he could get there first because of all those fish. How many fish did they say? Just a multitude, huh?
When you get old, you're not going to be able to do what you want.
That's right. You got another clothing. You're going to stay there.
He was very fond of doing just what he wanted.
Yes, that's right. He liked that freedom. All right, Ruth, go right ahead.
24, I think.
Yes.
Where are we? Now, 8. But the other disciples came in the boat, for it was not far from the land, but, as it were, 200 cubits, dragging the net of fishes.
All right, in this case, it's a different word for drag, isn't it? Pseudotus.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so this is 8. Ale upon the air, second air, to Erchamai. Pseudontes is what, Ruth? Pseudontes.
That's present
participle. Present participle from pseudo, okay, to drag or to pull. So a different verb, a little different picture.
Mm-hmm.
And they were pulling the, and that must have been a very hard row, you know, if there are 100 and some odd fish there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that takes a little bit of pull. And
I think if it's in the water, it's easier than if it would have been pulled out of water.
Oh, yes, that's right, to pull them like that. But they could finally get them, depending on what the size of the fish were, of course. But I suppose all 6 of them were left in the boat, and they probably was big enough.
Well, they were not able to draw it in 6.
They couldn't draw it in. That's
but in
right.
8, they were drawing it.
In the water.
Dragging
it. Dragging, that's right. That's right. Couldn't lift it up. They couldn't lift it up into the boat, see, that's
okay.
It. But so they had to drag it in the water.
Would have been breaking the net.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the net would have broken, yes. Okay, that would be Bill. Back to Bill with, is it 9?
Mm-hmm.
John 21:9. Hos un apebesan esten gain, blepusin anthrakian kemenain kai opsarion epikemenon kai arpon.
All right.
Then, as they came into the land,
it'd be the shore in this case, wouldn't it?
Okay.
They went up, Ebane, stepped up upon the land.
They said.
Sure, they said. They said, no, they see.
Okay, that's right. They saw.
Seeing or they saw in the past, if you want.
Okay, so, what's next?
Anthracite, coal, fire of coals, of coal fire. Anthrakian, is that what you mean?
Yes.
Be like anthracite, it'd be hard coal.
Hard coal.
Or soft coal. Coal fire, there's a fire of coal.
What's that, Kemenain?
Oh, Kemenain, lying.
Okay, lying.
From Kemai.
And.
We're sitting there, you know, situated.
Is it having seen? Yeah.
And no, that would be a slight scene up to my, but that's this is the fish, you see.
Oh. Okay.
Psadion is a fish.
And having seen the fish.
Not having seen, but just Psadion and fish, Epikemenon, also they were lying, see.
Okay. Right.
Resting there.
Resting. In bread.
All right, see, lying on, Epi came in, lying on it, see, lying on the fire, coals of fire, and bread, see. Now, he didn't need their fish, did he? He got the fish, he provided the fish, and provided the bread.
Mm-hmm. I think he wanted to give them a taste to see, look, I am a body in the flesh,
yeah.
And I can eat.
That's right.
Together with you.
That's exactly right. So even though he may not have needed to eat, yet he did, could eat, see. And it was a material body. The thing is, anebesan, let's get the verbs here, first, second aorist of anapaino, apobaino, rather, apebesan, and blepusin, first present of blepo, and kemenain, present middle participle of kemai, and epikemenon is the present middle participle of epikemai. So the fish were lying, and the fire was there also lying. Now, the thing about it is, the error of Westcott in his book, in the two books on the resurrection, is he seems to say there's no other alternative but two. Number one, that Jesus was raised in the body of the exact same dimensions, sizes, shape, and properties as he was crucified in. He, just like Lazarus was raised, which he'd only have to die against. He's seemingly the same kind of a body without any difference or change. Either you have to believe that, or you have to believe it was a phantom. See? Well, there's a third possibility, that it was a physical bodily resurrection, physical body, but whose properties were different and whose constitution was different. It was without blood, but flesh and bones, and it could change its particles to go through locked doors, etc., but still a material body that could be touched and felt and handled, because he says, stop touching me, stop
acting. Why did he say then that it was the same Jesus that they saw? That
and yet different. The same and yet different, you mean?
He's very different.
All right, yeah, he says the same. Here's how you have to read between all those lines and see all that. Here's what he said. He says, there's an organization of our present situation under our present laws, and the organization, our system, presents an organism, which is our present body, and that changes all the time, then it dies. But there, inside that body, there is a force and power, and that's the soul, and that never changes. Now, in the next body, like Jesus' body, the Lord's body, he has the organism. It's a new organization of things on a new, different law, a different principle, and the soul is still there, and that's the personality. But the organization is different, and it's not the same as ours at all. And from all that he says, if unbelievers can't see it, and he also says it can't be subject to sense. You can't touch it. And when he talks about Thomas saying, reach hither thy finger and touch, you know, I will not believe unless I see in the prints of the nails and put my finger and touch him and my hand the sight. He said in a footnote, he said, for the Lord to have fulfilled that test, he would have had to have a different body. Now that's interesting. See, because obviously it couldn't be touched.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's so clever. And then the Lord has already returned. He's already come. And John, the gospel, the writer, if it is thy will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Jesus did, John did tarry till he comes, and he comes many times, he's coming all the time, and he comes when we're looking for him.
Like that.
Oh, it's terrible. It is so, you know, it's so esoteric, and so strange. It's so strange, weird. And yet I don't know how Dr. Bob III Jones could say to Dr. Rasmussen, as he did, that Westcott has written two whole books teaching very clearly the bodily resurrection of Christ. And you shouldn't take some other books out of context of the fact that he denies the bodily resurrection.
Well, if you don't read it very clearly, it teaches
that. That's right. It seems to.
The way I read it
last week. That's right. Real fast. That's why I put you on it. See, it seems, because he uses words and seems to say things. That's the cleverness about it. He redefines. Now, you think body was body, but when you finish up, if you read between the lines, you read his definition of body, body is not necessarily a material body. It's just simply the organization around which the spirit builds itself. See? It's a new organization. And, well, I tell you, it's really something.
Yeah.
And he has got the ascension not up to heaven, and he didn't change in place. It's not location when he ascended. Now, he played it that way because of the human beings. They had to see that sort of thing, but it's all symbolic, and it's all a sacrament. He used that word, sacramental, symbolical, and so on, like a figure of speech. It's not a change of location, it's just a change of state. That's all the ascension is. It just changed the state of things, but not a location. It didn't go up anywhere. But it seemed to go up. Oh, boy, it's so strange. So here we have heaven on earth, and Jesus is here, and he's ascension, but here he didn't get off the earth. He's right here. And here he talks continuously about his presence, with a capital P, you know, the presence. And that's all we have. But to the eye of the believer, even today, we can see it. You know, we could have these same appearances if we just get all psyched up enough. And I suppose that's why he gets from the ghost guild, the spiritism, and the seances, and so on, calling up the spirits to depart. I don't know. But you have to be a believer and expect this before you can actually see him. But that doesn't mean he believes in the bodily resurrection, because even unbelievers, you know, you don't have to. When 1 Timothy 3:16, that same word is used, great is the mystery of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh, seen of angels, you know, so on.
Mm-hmm.
That is a solid bodily picture. So now he manifests in the flesh. So, Galatians also. All right, so God sent forth His Son, made of woman. All right, is it Ruth or is it Bill?
I have something here to say. When we die, we are saying, and even in the Bible it's written, that our soul depart from this body.
Mm-hmm.
But when the Lord Jesus was ready to die, say, Father, in your hands I commend my spirit.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that's he laid down his life, as it says in Scripture in John, doesn't it? All right, is it Bill?
No, it's
okay, great. Right.
John 21:10. Legeo tois paisus, en encate apon ton oxarion hon epiasate nun. John.
Jesus said to them, bring from the fish which you caught now. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Which you caught now. Mm-hmm.
Oxion is different from ichthuon, isn't it?
Oxarion, yes, it is. This ichthus is the regular word. Oxarion, fairly little fish. It's a diminutive, I believe, oxarion.
Well, he was alluding to the ones that they caught.
Yes. Oxarion, he had in it, but ichthuon, let's see what maybe the oxarion would be here. Let me look under ichthuon, let's see if we can. Find the C. Find the root.
Which one are you looking for?
So I'm looking at upside down. That's the diminutive of cooked provision as distinguished from bread. A dainty fish, a little fish, upside down. Diminutive, the arion, upside down. The upside is the actual word, and diminutive is upside down. What do you find, Ruth?
It's just a fish, and ichthus is the word, isn't it?
Right.
Just a fish.
A fish, just a fish. Okay. Now, did we finish that?
That
was 10?
Yes.
And Legi, of course, president of Lego, and Eninkan, Eninkate, rather. Is that what we have? Eninkate?
Eninkate.
Okay, I want to get the same text, aorist to the imperative. Pharaoh, so bring, and then Epiasate is what, Ruth? Epiasate.
That is the aorist of what,
Piazzo. Mm-hmm. Piazzo, aorist of Piazzo. Which you have caught. So he wanted them to bring their fish at that time. All right, Bill 11, please.
21:11. Alebe Simon Petros, kai helcuse to dictuon epites geis. Meston ichthuon megalon. Hecaton pente conta treon. Kai tosunton onton, uk eschiste ta dictuon.
All right.
Simon Peter went up and said to draw.
Drew
the
net. Dictuon is a net.
Mm-hmm. Net to the shore.
Meston means full.
Full. Greater. Is it greater fish or?
Of large fish.
Mm-hmm. Okay, large fish.
Ichthuon megalon. Ichthus, of course, is the word for Jesus Christ, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That the Christians had. And a man asked me what that meant there. Couple months ago, and I guess it could really mean two things: the Yoda, Jesus, you know, Jesus, and Christos, and Theta, Theos,
God,
or it could be Theu, and then Huios. It could be of God, the Son of God, and then Sigma Soter, Savior,
mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior.
Mm-hmm.
It also could be Jesus Christ, God, humon, theos, humon, God of us, our God, and soter, Savior, Savior. Mm-hmm. See, so I don't know which is exactly literal. I don't know which one I told him. I think I told him on the phone, theu, huios, of God, the Son of God and Savior. Mm-hmm. But I thought of it in the car going home as I was listening to this. I thought, well, there's another way, and it could be our God, to us himon. So I don't know which the early Christian is. Maybe we have to look that up, Ruth. You might check in about ichthus, those mean. Bill, go ahead. Pardon, I interrupted your translation. Sorry about that.
Hekaton is what?
That'd be 100. Hekaton is 100.
100.
And pent is 5. And pentecont is 50. And trion is the trio, 53, see. So pentecanta is 50, and then trion is 153, right?
163.
And how do you say 163? It's hekaton is 100, and then pentecanta trion. See, pent is, of course, 5, and pentecanta is 50, 5 and 10. And trion in the end for the trio, the 3, 53. Mm-hmm. All right, Bill, go ahead. Here's your genitive absolute. Tasun, uton, onton. See? Onton for being, see? And so many, though they were so many, you know, or even though there were so many. So you have to figure out completely no relation to any part of the sentence, right?
Even though so many.
It is referring back to the fish because it's in the genitive, like the fish. Ichthuon, you see?
Mm-hmm.
Who kiss there? Skizo, to split, to break.
He did not break the net.
The dicton, okay, and actually the dicton on the net was not broken, see, because okay. That's the passage. All right, so that would be, what, 11, is that?
Mm-hmm.
So Anebe is the heiress of Anabino, and Helkusen is the heiress of Helkuo. Anton, present of Amy, Eskiste, heiress passive of Skidzo, to break schism or schism, as the case may be, is that word from it. Okay, Ruth, number 12 there, please. So the net didn't break. That was a miraculous thing in itself, wasn't it? Because it said large fish. The fish that we ate when we were there on the Sea of Galilee, they call them Peter fish. You know, the fish like Peter found the money in the mouth of the for the taxes. Oh, those are the boniest, crunchiest, smallest little things. I just had. It was the worst meal I had when we were there. And we went just because this was called Peter fish. And we went to eat what Peter, maybe the fish that like the same size Peter found money in. I just wish Peter had found some of these large fish. This was large fish. They weren't the little tiny, itsy bitsy fish. All right? Is it Bill?
I want to say that I read in all books that. As you say that ichthus, all that means what you said, Jesus Christus and so on. The Christians, they have been persecuted at that time, and in order to understand each other when they were traveling, they have been marking a fish on the tree,
right.
On that way, and in the front of the house. They stopped, there were no more father. So
right.
They knew that in that house is a Christian.
That's right. That's what they use it for in the early church. Oh, is it Bill?
Nope,
oh, again, Ruth, again. Okay.
John 21:12. Lege autois hoisus deute aristesate udeste etoma ton matheton ex etasai auton si tis a.
All right.
But none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" knowing that it is the Lord.
All right, that's the end of that.
No, they did not recognize him.
They knew it was the Lord. They didn't ask. Didn't dare ask him. Did they? Aristesate is what, Ruth?
Oh, is that my?
Well, let me see. Maybe it isn't. Is it 12?
Yeah, that's right. I left that sentence out.
Oh, really?
Jesus says to them, "Hither breakfast or eat."
Come and eat, okay?
Tell what
them.
Would not, they could not see.
Aristesate would be what?
That has to be
aristo. Aristo, aristo. Uh-huh, aristo, aristo. And etoma is what?
Etoma. I've been looking at that. I don't know what that
Well, it's Talma'o, and this is the imperfect. Et Talma.
Apparently.
Yeah, they were there. No one was there. That's right. Ex et tasai as well.
That's an aorist infinitive, isn't
ex
it?
Ex et tadzo. Yes, it is. Aorist infinitive. Ex et tadzo. A is a verb to be, present, and a dotes is what verb.
That's a participle of aorist participle.
Well, it would be perfect. Mm-hmm. See, oida. Since oida is the perfect, estin, of course, present of a me. Mm-hmm. All right, so knowing it is the Lord, they know what asked them. They didn't know. They weren't there. Why there? They know it's the Lord, so they just kept on going, see. Peter recognized him, and they recognized him here, too. All right, Bill, please.
21:13. Erketai un Jesus, kai lambane ton arton, kai didosin autois, kai to apsalion homoios.
All right.
Therefore Jesus came and took or received the bread and gave to them and the fish as well.
As well, likewise, in the same manner. That was 13, wasn't it? Erketai comes, Rechamai, Lambane, present of Lambano, and Didosin, present of Didomi. All right, Ruth, number 14.
John 21:14. Tuto eide triton e phanerothe, o Jesus, tois mathetais autu, eger theis ek necron.
All right.
This already... There's a new verb in there.
No, this was understood, yeah. Okay. Just Amy understood.
Well, the third time, Jesus showed himself to his disciples, having been risen from the dead ones.
Mm-hmm. All right, having risen or having been raised, probably.
Is that passive there?
Yes, it is. Having been raised, huh? I was just saying raised instead of risen because, you know, you rise is an intransitive, raised is a transitive. He'd been raised, but he was risen from the dead. So that's just a little technicality, but that's good. Ephanerothe is what there?
That's also passive.
Mm-hmm.
That's
aorist passive. Ephanero. Mm-hmm. And then egerthes, as you said, was the aorist passive participle, wasn't it? Egero. Having been raised, wasn't it? Having been already raised from the dead. Now, this is the third time. So you see, the other times may have been in the upper room, see, where they saw him. It's just strange. They still go back to fishing when they saw he was raised and he was...
Is that why they were afraid to ask him?
I guess so, because they knew it was over. But probably they were troubled at his presence too, like Joseph and his brethren. The brethren were a little bit troubled at Joseph's presence because they knew they were back in fishing. He caught them right there without any catch. You can catch somebody without any catch. So he had to catch himself and they caught something too afterwards. Possible. All right, is it Bill?
John 21:15. Hote un eristesan legeto Simoni Petro ho Jesus. Simon Yona agapasme kleon tuton legeto nai kurie. Si oidas hoti philo se legeto baske ta arnia mu. John?
All right.
Therefore, when a wish
they had eaten or they had dined.
When they had eaten, Jesus said to Simon Peter, son of
Simon, John, Simon of John, I guess son of John, understood.
Jonah.
Simon, right, of Jonas. It's in the genitive, apparently. Simon of John, or of Jonah, or of Jonas, son of, understood.
Lovest me
be more.
More than these.
That's right, the comparative with the genitive, than these, right? And you don't know whether more than these things, the nets and the fishing, or more than these disciples that are gathered around, you know, who knows? Never forget, I thought, a very incisive message my son Dick preached at Bethel Baptist Church with the young people's group years ago
on this thing. And he really had a tremendous inventio.
Very good indeed. An incisive word.
Use the ministry.
Pardon me?
To be a minister.
Yes, well, he did go one semester at Baptist Bible College there, and I still wonder whether he wonders if he should go ahead for further training and go ahead. He's got three children, and of course, he's talked about going to seminary there, maybe at Capital Seminary there, where he's teaching at night or something. Who knows? But anyhow, it's very interesting. More than these, pardon me, Bill. Go ahead with that. I interrupted you again.
He said to him, is that nay?
Nay would be yes. Mm-hmm.
Nay would be yes?
It would be yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. It looks like a no, but it is a yes.
Okay, Father, that Oida, that's
you know. Oida.
But you know that I love.
No, there'd be no but. See, you don't need the but. This be Sinaikur. Yes, Lord. You know, hoti that. You see.
You know that I love you.
Mm-hmm.
He has said to him.
Buska, be feed.
Feed my sheep.
In this case, it'd be the lambs, the little sheep there, little lambs. All right. Is that the end of that? Is that the end of the verse? I think so. Okay. That was 15, wasn't it? Aristesan is the heiress of Arstao, to have a meal, to dine. Lege is the president of Lego. Agapas, the president of Agapao. You continue to love me, Peter. See the present tense. And Agapao, a different verb to fill out, isn't it? Oidas, perfect of Oida. And Philo, present of Philao. Buske, present imperative of Pasco, to feed my little lambs. And Jesus said, do you love me in Agapao? And I suppose with the mental and intellectual and deciding factor, choice, love. And he said, I am fond of you. I have a passionate love in a material way, or sort of a feeling type love. But anyway, those are different loves, aren't they? Later on, the Lord changes the philo, doesn't he? All right, go right ahead. Is it Ruth on 16, please?
21:16. Flage auto palin deuteron. Simon, Yona, Agapasme, Lege auto, Nai, Kurie, Su oidas, Hoti philose, Lege auto, Poimine, Ta, Probata, Mu, John.
Okay.
He says to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He says to him, yes, Lord, you know that I am fond of you.
Mm-hmm, that's good.
He says to him, shepherd my sheep.
All right, and this is the probata of the big sheep, isn't it? And the shepherd, not just the buska, feed them, but shepherd them and guide them to the proper pastures and take care of them in every way. So that was his job. 16, agapas is what again, Ruth?
From agapao,
present or present, you continue to love, and oidas for us, perfect of oidas, and poimaina is what, Ruth?
That must be imperative, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, it is imperative. Of poimaino, so that would be what tense? Present imperative, right. Continue to shepherd my sheep. He had to deny the Lord three times, and now he has to affirm the love three times, doesn't he? This is the test. Mm-hmm. All right, take the next one then, Bill, please.
21:17. Flage auto patreton simon yona filesme elupeve ha petros hoti epen auto patreton filesme kai epen auto kurie su panta oidas su genoskes hoti filose flage auto ho Jesus bosque ta probata mu. John.
Alright.
He said to him the third time, Simon, Jonah.
Of Jonah.
Lovest me. Peter, what's a...
Elupethe, the aorist passive of to be sorry, or to grieve, have grief.
Peter grieved that he said to him the third time, kind of lovest thou me, and said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.
All right, 17. Lege is the president of Lego.
Did
you get some more? Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Bill.
Jesus said to him, feed my sheep.
Okay, we don't want to cut you off without your full verse there. Phileas is the president of Phileo, and Elupethe, as we said, is the aorist passive of Lupeo, to be grieved, you see, and this he was grieved. And Apen, the aorist of Lego, and Basque, president again of Basco, and Gnoskes, the president of Gnosko. And notice a number of things about this verse here. You have, first of all, why was he grieved? Because he said the third time, do you love me? Or is it because he said the third time, Phileas? See? It's either way, couldn't it? He changes from agapas, agapas, now Phileas. And he was grieved. Either that he said the third time he had to ask, or that he changed his words. See? Now that's probably it. And then Peter kept his word. I know that I love you. And there's another thing about that. Notice, he said, Kuria u asupanta oidas. You know all things, and there's one word for oida, to know, and then genoskes is the other, isn't it? And the oida, the first one, the oida is thou, you know intuitively all things. You are omnipresent and omniscient. I should say omniscient in this case. But then, genoskes, that is the knowledge of experience. And you have been with me, Lord, and you know that I, see, by your experience that I love you, and so on. And so the oidas is the intuitive knowledge, the genoskes is experiential, that you have actually seen in people's lives, that something's happened, not just an intuitive knowledge that you know. Okay, any other thoughts on
that? Does it mean this, that to be grieved, that he was hurt?
Yes, to be hurt. Grieved means to be hurt. Yes, he was grieved and hurt. That's right.
He uses two different words here for the sheep. How come I guess?
Yes. This last one was the sheep, wasn't it? The Prabhata. And this Bhaska feed the sheep. Mm-hmm. He had up there feed the lambs, the little lambs, didn't he? And here, the other was Poimana, shepherd, the sheep, Prabhata. See? So those are two different words. That's right, Bill.
Yes, yes.
Now, the lambs are the young sheep, aren't they? So they'd be the new Christians, the new believers. And mm-hmm. the shepherd, Poimana, be a shepherd or a pastor to the flock of the older sheep and tend them, you know, and then here, feed them. Tend them and feed them both. They need tending. Older ones need tending and they need feeding. The little ones mostly need the feeding. They don't have too much. I guess they're not as prone to wander all over everything. They just stay close mm-hmm. to home. But the old ones, they need attending and the feeding. It's interesting, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Sometimes they need a lot of tending, a lot of getting them in shape and line. And sometimes I wonder about the old sheep, whether there's any hope left to some of them. I really wonder. They don't seem to care about the Word of God. They don't seem to care about reading it, heeding it, obeying it, loving it, memorizing it, preaching it, you know, to others, witnessing it. I tell you, that's why he said, keep on doing it in the present tense, Peter. You have to, and if you have to have that special call to be a pastor and a shepherd, believe me, you do. And you got to love your sheep. Believe me, if you don't, there's no hope. And I had two pastorates, and one was the Emmanuel Baptist Church of Newton, where we had the riot in Newton, Massachusetts. About 10 months after I got there, there was a riot, and so we left, 109 of us, started a new church, which is a regular Baptist church, separated church. And the difference, all the difference in the world between that first church with all the trouble and problems and the second church, though it was smaller, much smaller, yet we got together, worked together, there was unity, and it was great, even though it was a smaller group of folk. Then the big, biggest, not very biggest, 350, I guess, was the membership of the church when we went there. Of course, that same church now, because these church bosses wanted to rule or ruin, that thing is down to about 15, 20 people. That big, huge, monstrous building, the Emmanuel Baptist Church, it's now no longer a church. It's called a chapel. It's Newton Corners Chapel. No longer do these people have it, but the Southern Baptists have moved in, and they made it a mission church. They got a missionary pastor that's there, with a few people to handle it. But those fellows that wanted their own way rather than to go with the Word of God and the way the Lord seemed to be leading the rest of the people, they kept right there. Their brother-in-law is dead. that was there, Dr. Mark. He was a physicist, PhD. And of course, G. Arthur Chamberlain Jr., the other brother, and Mabel, his wife, there, right there, with all the power, but over what? Mm-hmm. They're presiding over nothing. Mm-hmm. Now, the church that is formed from that, you know, the Faith Baptist Church now is in Natick, Massachusetts. They have a nice, lovely new little building, and they're a struggling church, like any church in New England that preaches the word and separated, not a, you know, compromising various things. They're seeking a new pastor now, and we've got to pray for Faith Baptist Newton. But they support our Bible for today regularly. We've got a little tiny church, and I appreciate that. All through these many years, they've stuck by us. And we need that, don't we, Ruth, this time, especially for income. All right, so that's right. The shepherd and feed, the two different ones, and the two different sheep. All right, Ruth, I guess, is it you, or if I'm wrong again? Okay.
John 21:18.
Nice long one for you, Ruth.
Ezonues sauton, kai periepates hapu etheles, hotan de gerases ectenes tas geras su, kai alos se zose, kai oise hapu u theles.
All right.
Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you dressed yourself.
You girded yourself, yeah, dressed yourself, I guess that's right. Yeah.
And walked where you were willing. But when you should age, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress or gird you, mm-hmm. and take you where you are not willing.
Mm-hmm. All right, so this is 18, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Good long verse. Ace is what, Ruth?
It's the imperfect.
The birth of Amy. All right. Ezonuous is what?
Middle future?
Well, it would be the active. It would be the imperfect. See, of Zonuo. Zonuo. Very funny verse. Yeah, it would be imperfect.
Oh,
let's see.
When
you were young, you were girding yourself and so on and dressing yourself. Yeah. Periapates is what?
That looks like present tense.
Yeah, but you see the periepates, right? Let me see. Let me look up. I always look. Periepate, yeah. Periepate. See the e? That would be your augmentates. That would be your imperfect. See what I mean? Periepate. It looks the same because it is built on the present stem. Periepateo. See that little epsilon before the mm-hmm. P, though? That's the thing that gives you the imperfect. Then atheles is what?
That is the imperfect.
Aha, that is imperfect. Mm-hmm. From Othello or Othello. And Gerases is what?
Well, it's a subjunctive, isn't it?
It looks like it might be a subjunctive. Well, because the sigma, see, but, well, it's a future middle indicative, see, but it looks like it's a subjunctive.
Well,
let's see.
With the subjunctive aorist, isn't it?
Yes, it is aorist. Future, see, it looks like it's aorist, but you see the aorist stem, Gerases, the word is Gerasco. Gerasco, see. And it's built on the aorist stem, gerases. And since there's no subjunctive future, you got the sigma, you got the aorist. So what do you find there, Ruth?
Okay,
are we wrong on that or right?
Okay, wrong.
Gerases.
I think it's one of those that I had to look back here for. Oh,
really?
You have an appendix.
Oh, really?
It's not in
there? Oh, that's one of the ones they left out, huh?
I believe so.
Hmm. I never found an appendix there, huh?
Yeah. Remember, one other time we couldn't find one.
Hmm.
Here it is. Second person singular, aorist, one, subjunctive, active.
It's aorist?
That's in the addenda.
I don't have much. You got a new one. See, I've got the old book, and maybe
gives the same information.
Maybe I don't have it at all.
Pardon?
Gives the same information. It's just an addendum, right?
Yeah, it's the one that they must have left out.
I didn't know. I've come across a couple.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how.
You're in the old dispensation.
Gerasco. Gerasco. Say Gerasco.
I always think when they have the year of the subscript, that it's always subjunctive.
Well, yes, it looks. Geras. Gerasco.
You see, it's not there in the
future. Gerasomai. Hmm. Yeah, it isn't there. But if they got that in the back, that's what they're saying it is. Yeah. I don't know how these other men say it's the future. Except I do know that they're very similar, these two things. I don't know how we could find that such an irregular verb, Kiera. So I know in our analytical is futures geras, and I geras. Well, let's take a look. That's an Eta Iota subscript, is it? See, sometimes that's second singular, too, Ruth. See, that's second singular. Let's take a look at the future regular verb, page 15, in our earlier part there. The future, yes, you know, luces, and lusas, and so on. Hmm. Well, let's, I don't see it. Have to get a real irregular type verb and look at it and see if it's a compact verb, carrasco.
If it's irregular, how would you know?
Well, you wouldn't know on irregulars, except they.
They must not use the future of the verb in the Bible, because I see it's not here.
No.
It's not in the Bible. They don't list it, do they?
That's right. I don't think they do. You see, future. I'm trying to see the future. Some of these other stems. Well, that's. Apparently, see, sometimes we have, looks like one, it is the other, but this,
that is.
I don't know how they get this other, but this this other source gives the geras.
The future is very strange, isn't it? I noticed the verb pharaoh, that turns into something entirely different.
Lausama, I know that's the
Enegkata is imperative.
Imperative, right.
Enegkata.
Enegkata,
wow,
yeah.
That was amazing.
Enegkata, wow. That's the, I think that's the aorist, isn't it? Is it the aorist?
Yes.
Enegkata, yes. Very irregular verbs.
And also in verse 18, it turns in the future to O-I-S-E-I.
Oiso, yes.
Oiso. It looks nothing like it. So
that's right. That's 18, too. We haven't got to that, but we're coming, aren't we? Well, Zose, all right, ektenes is what we're, ektenes, that's another.
Let's see, where are we?
Got all the good verbs there in 18.
18, ektenes.
From ektino, to extend.
That must be future, ektenes.
That's future, yes. Mm-hmm. See, and that's probably, see, with the nest of futures, that's why I think that this other seems to be taking this future and with or without proper reasoning. Zose is what we're. Zose, from Zonumi.
It must be aorist.
Well, it's a future, see, also. Zose,
oh,
with
oh,
a sigma.
Okay.
It's
right.
Epsilon. And Oise would be what?
That is, I looked that one up. That's the future of Pharaoh.
Future of Pharaoh, that's right. Oise, like completely it. Different, mm-hmm. Oise. And Thales, of course, present of Thal. So, when you're old, another word, and this, many have felt, looks to the possible death by crucifixion, and that's tradition, but we don't know really. But this signifying what death you should die, so that's going to be later, isn't it?
Considering the fact that he had just dressed himself to throw himself in the water,
yes.
He must have been thinking about that.
Right, that's right. You're clothing yourself, now another's going to clothe you. All right, Bill, take 19, please, a shorty for you before we get into high speed with long E for Ruth.
21:19. Tuta de epe semainon toyo thanato doxase. Tontheon, kai tuta epon lege auto akoluthe moi
jump.
All right. But this, he said.
Having said this. Mm-hmm.
Signifying what death.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was in the wrong verse here. This he said. That's right. I was down with epon. Yeah.
Signifying what death he would glorify God.
All right, notice, death to glorify God. That's a very important part of it. We don't very often think of a death to glorify God. We've got to be able to glorify him even in our death, right? Mm-hmm. Be a good witness right until the very time. That's 19, was it?
Yeah.
Say my known. Yes, right. Say my known.
I have a little bit more here.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bill. Go ahead.
And this And saying this,
yeah, having said this,
he said to him, follow me.
Follow me. Good. All right. Finally, I'm interrupting you tonight. Pardon me. Semaino is the present participle of semaino, signing or signifying or giving us direction. Doxase, future of doxazo. Apon, the aorist of lego, lege, the present of lego. And then akaluthe, present imperative, akalutheo. So follow me. Keep following me. That's the charge that he has it. So that's important. All right. Ruth 20, please.
21:20. Sepistrafes de harpetros gepe ton mathetein hon egapa ho Jesus akaluthunta hoskai anepesen en to dikno epitos stethos autu kai epe kurie tis esten ha paradidus se.
All right.
But Peter, having been turned, is that right?
I think that's right. Having been turned is the passive, aorist passive.
He, the disciple whom Jesus was loving, following, who also reclined at the supper on the breast, on his breast, and said, Lord, who is he who betrays you? Or the one betraying
mm-hmm.
you.
All right, that's the end of that verse, isn't it? All right, epistrophes, we said second aorist passive, but epistrepho, having been turned around. Blepe, present of blepo. Agapa, of course, imperfect, is translated from agapao. And akaluthunta is what, Ruth? Akaluthunta, participle.
Present
of akalutheo. Aneptesan is what?
Aorist.
Aorist, anapipto, right. Father de Deus is what?
That is a participle.
Participle. A paradidomi. And what tense would that be?
Didomi. That is present.
Present, because it's the did mm-hmm. root, did stem, so it would be the present. So he signified by what death he should die. In other words, that's why people feel it's the crucifixion and so on, where he's at the mercy of some of his captors.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Bill 21, please.
John 21:21. Tuton edon petros. Legato Jesu, curia, putos de ti, John.
All right, that's a short one, Bill.
Peter's seeing this, said to Jesus, Lord, what about this one, or what about
mm-hmm.
him?
What this one, what? Mm-hmm. Okay, that's 21. Isn't it? It own the aorist, having seen, the aparao, or when he saw, or after he had seen, lege present of lego. Okay, Ruth, see what
these. Why do they say, what of this one?
Where
does it get of? And that's a nominative, isn't it?
Pardon me?
Isn't that the nominative?
Yes. Hutas, this one, what? In other words, what is for this one, or to this one, this one?
What of this one? Where is it?
What shall this man do?
Really?
No, I don't know. Did they do that for 21, did they?
21. What shall...
Yeah, all
what
the time.
What this man?
Yes, what this man, yeah.
What this man?
They say shall and do is in italics,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
what
okay.
This
who
man?
Tosses this man mm-hmm. and T is what?
That's
what
right.
This man? Okay.
This one, this person, this man. See, what this man? In other words, this man what? What will it be for this man? What is going to happen to this man? He was looking at someone else.
Don't you think that this was some jealousy?
Yes, very definitely. Very definitely jealousy. So you wonder, what is going to happen to this man? All right, is it Bill's turn?
No.
Oh, Ruth, back to the long one. I should know. I don't know what's the matter with me. My thinker is not thinking.
I'm 21:22. Lege auto ho Jesus. Ean auton fellow menein heos erchomai ti prosse.
All right.
Jesus is saying to him, if I should will, or I will, I am willing for him to remain until I am coming, what to you? You follow me.
Okay, that's 22, isn't it? Fellow present of fellow, menain present infinitive of meno. Echomai, present of Echomai, and of course Akolofe, imperative Akolofeo. What is that to thee? You follow me. You keep following me. That's the thing. By will that he tarry till I come. And of course, that's where Westcott says he did to live until Jesus came. See, Jesus came in some form of the sense of the ascension or of the coming again. He speaks the whole chapter on the coming of Christ. And he doesn't mean any more the coming and the man in the moon. But we're talking about coming. It's a strange, strange theory of coming. He can come to us. He comes in many ways, you know, just all ethereal, not a physical. In fact, he says that the early church made a grievous error. And he says the book of Ephesians and the New Testament writers and the epistles were completely in error when they thought that they would expect the coming of Christ during their lifetime and this and that, and the coming of Christ would be soon, and it would be establishing his kingdom upon this earth. See, that's a very grave error. See, he did come.
What way was the error?
Well, he says he did come. He did come already to take the power and take, put down evil, and you know, like he's reigning right now. In other words, an amillennial position, but not a literal coming of Christ, second coming of Christ. This was the thing of it is this guy, doesn't only say that early Christians believe that. He says the early church, and he says the epistles taught that, and therefore he's saying there's errors in the Bible. He doesn't believe in an errant Bible. See. And he knocks that, and then he completely spiritualizes the coming of Christ. So obviously, this very same Jesus, in the same manner in which you see him going to heaven, shall so come in like manner. Obviously, he doesn't believe that was literal. He doesn't believe literal up here, literal coming. And obviously, in Revelation 19:11, when the Son of God will come riding upon the white horse and put down all his opposition at the end of the tribulation period, and the powerful coming of the Lord. Obviously, he doesn't believe any of that. He's in setting up a millennium. He obviously is against that.
Where did the witnesses get it from? That he came in 1919, but it's the parousia or whatever.
The parousia, the presence,
and
the
not,
sort of,
you know,
not,
yes.
The, not
isn't
something
that
else.
The same with Jesus?
Yeah, something similar. I think you're right. Parousia is the word for presence, yeah. Alongside. Sure, he's here, and spiritually, as deity, he's with us, Lord, I'm with you always. See, but not, see, he doesn't believe there's the man, Christ Jesus, at the Father's right hand. He doesn't believe that at all, see. The man, Christ Jesus, he says the risen Christ, the risen Lord, the risen Christ. And see, that risen Christ, modernists use that all the time. I never did like that time, the risen Christ. See, that's, it sounds so wonderful.
Uh-huh.
But all they mean is the spirit. It's the principle, and see, the Christ principle, and like the Christian scientists, the Christ principle got into Jesus, the man, and sort of worked together with him, and then he left him before his death, and so somehow the Christ is still living. But it's esoteric, it's symbolic, it's a terrible, dreadful thing. Now, that was what, 20? 22. That was Ruth, wasn't it? So now we're with Bill. Yes, quickly, go ahead, Mr. Arsene, because we've got to hurry up.
Did not Westcott mention that in one of the apocryphal letters, I forgot by whom, Peter was fleeing the Jerusalem and he met Jesus. Say, Lord, where are you going? Going to Jerusalem.
Covadas.
And Peter said, Lord, if you go, they will crucify you again. The Lord said, let them crucify me. And Peter was ashamed and returned to Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I see. That's Quo Vadis.
Yeah,
that's
a book written on
Quo Vadis,
yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But this is from one of the apocryphal
books.
Mm-hmm. I read that.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. It's Bill. Is that right?
Yes.
We got the right one now?
John 21:23.
That's a long one for you, Bill.
Theothen hologos hutos eistus adelphus hoti homothetes ekenas uk apothenesce kai uk epen auto hoiesus hoti uk apothenesce al ean auton stelo menein heos erchomai ti pros se.
All right.
And then the word... Then this word went out into the brethren, among the brethren, that disciple answered not. And
let's see.
You know what? Not answered, but
the disciple that would not die.
Yeah.
Apophneske.
I did not die. Okay.
Or does not die, right? Mm-hmm.
And he did not, let's see, and Jesus did not say to him that he should not die, but I wish,
if
I wish him to remain until I come, what probably is it to you?
What is it to you? That's right. 23, Exelthen is the heirist of Exerchomai, Apothleske, present of Apothlesko, and Apen, heirist of Lego. So that's, they were correcting that. He didn't say he was going to die at all. Mm-hmm. Ruth, finally, I've got the right person.
24. John, 21, 24. Kutos esten homothetes, homarturon peri tuton, kai grapsas tauta, kai oedemen hoti alethes esten he martoria autu.
This is the disciple, the one witnessing concerning these things, I suppose,
mm-hmm.
and wrote these things. And we know that his witness is true.
Okay, his witness is true. Martorio, Martoron, present participle, Martoreo, Grapsas, aorist participle of Grapho, and Oida, man perfect of Oida. All right, so he's the one that Jesus loved. It's interesting, several times he mentioned him. All right, Bill, final verse, please, 25.
John 21:25. Esti de kai ala tola hosa epoisen hoiesus hatena ean graphetai kathen ude auton oimai ton kosma choresai ta graphomala biblia. Amen.
All right.
But there are also other things Jesus.
Paula, many other things.
Many
okay.
other things Jesus said.
They did. Pois.
Okay.
Well.
Did. Okay. Now what's.
Hatena? Which things?
Which things, if were written, even
kathen, everyone,
no one, or nothing. What's oimai?
Oimai means to suppose or to presume.
I suppose no one.
Not even. Tokosman Aton, the world itself.
Okay, the world itself. What's that?
Choresa would contain.
Would contain.
Could contain.
The books. Written.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. Which would be written?
Books
or scrolls? Biblia. Would be books, yeah. Books, sometimes scrolls, sometimes, but anything that is a unified whole. And Poison is the heiress of Poyao, Graphetai, the present passive subjunctive of Grapho, and Oimai, the present middle of Oimai, and Chorisain, heiress infinitive of Choreo. Graphomena, the present passive participle of neuter plural grapho, which would be written, which have been written, which then would be written, I guess, the books, couldn't contain. So which is true? There's no end of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ.
What about graphetai? That's third person singular.
Yes, third
now,
singular.
What does that refer?
That refers to ta biblia. Let me see.
Oh, all right.
Well, which
could
be.
Refer to things because
no,
it's plural.
That's right. But you see, let me see. There's a graphic. All right. Hatia. See, it's the pola, the many things. You see, it would be the many things. See, because the old Greek rule with the neuter plural takes the singular verb. That's the only rule we can fall back on.
Okay.
Neuter plural takes singular verb per se. Any other comments, questions? All right, let's go on then to our final Dana and Maddie lesson, taking us through the final clauses. I don't think there's a Santa Claus in any of these three we come to, but we won't stop to worry about why. Substantival clause. Those are clauses used as nouns. Page 293 of Animated Definition. It's called a noun clause. The constructions of the subjective clauses, and then the objective and the positive. There are three types of clauses that are these substantival. First is subjective clauses with the infinitive, with hati, and with henna, the three different ways. First with the infinitive. To write the same things to you is not irksome to me, Philippians 3:1, ta'ota graphein. To write the same things to me is not irksome. The whole clause, ta'ota graphein, you mean, is like a noun. Like you might say, traveling to me is not irksome. Or the what? Church services are not irksome. See, so here's to write the same things are not irksome. It's the subject of the sentence, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That's why they say it's the subjective clause with the subject infinitive. Are then the, with hati, top of 294, is it not of care to thee that we are perishing? Mark 4:38, umele soi hati apolumatha. That we are perishing, see? That's the whole noun clause, it's just like a noun. That we are perishing, is that not a care? See, we are perishing is a care. That would be the subject of the sentence, although it's inverted because it's a question. So that hati introduces this substantive or noun clause. That we are perishing is just like is not a care to thee, good weather? Is that not a care to thee? Something else? So this is that we are perishing. And with henna, John 4:34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Henna, in order that I might do henna poeso to Othello. My meat is what? My meat is food, my meat is something else, or to do that I might do the will of him. That's the entire noun, isn't it? That defines what his meat or desire is. And there's the objective substantive clause, a noun clause, as the object with the infinitive. 1 Timothy 2:8, I desire therefore that men pray. Bulamai un proselchestai. Thy desire, what? That men pray. Just like I desire food, I desire a night's rest, I desire what? That men pray. That's a noun clause summed up as the object of what he desires. Then with hati, Mark 12:34, seeing that he answered answered wisely, idon auton hati nunechos apokrithe. Seeing what? That he answered wisely. That all following there is just like a noun, seeing that something was there, that he answered wisely. Then this next structure with the objective clause with henna and hopos after verbs of saying, asking, exhorting, wishing, caring, and striving. John 4:47, to give one illustration. He asked that he came down and healed his, that he come down and heal his son. And after the henna katabe, he asked what? The water, he asked food, he asked that he come down and heal his son. See, that whole thing is like a noun. It's the object to that. Then with may, after verbs of fearing, warning, cautioning, and so on, Mark 24:4, beware lest anyone lead you astray. Blepete may tis, beware of dogs, beware of chickens, beware of that any man leads you not astray. See, that's any berry. So it's just a direct noun clause as the object of the beware. Then after, without a conjunction, ascenditon, page 295, Mark 1:44, he says to him, see that you tell nobody anything. Without a conjunction, lege autoi, ora medeni, medeni. See, tell nobody. See that you tell. It's just a direct objective situation with the noun clause. Then the appositive clause. Clause in apposition, for instance, he was the man who was a farmer, the man a plumber, the man a mayor, the man a president. See, that's in apposition one to another. With the infinitive, with hati, and with henna. First with the infinitive. James 1:27, pure religion is this, to visit orphans and widows. Tarske, Athleske, rather, Katara, Haute, Estin. Then with the infinitive episkeptestai. This is pure religion, to visit. Pure religion is to visit. See, that's in apposition with religion. To visit, that's like a noun clause, visiting the orphans and widows. And with Haute, John 3:19, this is the judgment. The light has come into the world. Haute, Estin, Te Christus, Haute, Tafos. This is the judgment, light. Judgment is the light has come into the world. That's in apposition to Christus, which is judgment. It means the same thing. It's a whole clause, but it's used just like a noun. It's a noun clause. Then with henna, it can be used in 1 Corinthians 9:18. What then is my reward that I, while preaching, will give them the gospel without cost? And of course, henna evangelizomenos, that I, while preaching, might give. This is my reward, mistos. And then the in apposition is that I might preach without cost. Any questions on these uses before we get into the various moods that are used here? All right, the moods, the indicative is found with hati, the subjunctive pronoun with henna, ratio 32:1. 26 occurrences with the indicative, 17 occur in Johannine writings, the subjunctive is dominant with hapos and so on. So the different moods are used with these questions. All right, let's go on to indirect discourse. And this is the second to the last type of clause we'll take up. Verb forms in indirect discourse. First of all, the tense. It's a regular thing. The same tense used by the original speaker was also used by the one quoting the statement indirectly. Now, we find this all the time in John, don't we? We translate looking back on it as said, but it's in literal says, see? But we, in translating it, because it's in the past, but that's the very important thing. They quote it exactly as he says. For instance, if Jesus says, blepo, I see, Luke, in putting a statement in indirect discourse, would say, Jesus said that blepe, I see, or blepe, that he says that he sees, or to see. Statement was made in the past, present tense is used in recording it, because the original statement occurred in the present tense. So we've got to get that through our heads. He said he was going home, changing the tense from present to past in Greek. It would be apen, hoti, parevatai, eston, oikon, preserving the present tense. In other words, he said that I am going home. I'm going to the house. So that's the tense. The mood, like the tense, barring a few exceptions, is preserved regularly when the statement is put into this indirect discourse. In classical Greek, the indicative and subjunctive were often changed to the optative in indirect discourse. But only Luke does this. So they preserve the mood usually when we find the subjunctive or indicative in the indirect discourse were to infer that the original speaker used that particular mood in making a statement. Infinitive is used sometimes, he said, to represent the indicative, but it keeps the same mood and it keeps the same tense as when you look back at it as the original statement. That's the usual rule. Then the person of the verb and indirect is determined by the relation of the speaker to the quoted statement. If the speaker is quoting his own statement, the person remains unchanged. If he's quoting the statement of another, the third person is used. For instance, Mark 9:6, for he knew not what he might answer. The original statement was T apokritho. He knew not what I might answer, but apokrithē, what he might answer. See, it's just sometimes you change the person. Any questions thus far on that? Now, the types of indirect discourse, you have indirect declarations, indirect questions, indirect commands. Statements, questions, commands. First of all, declarations in three ways. By haughty with the indicative, I believe that thou art the Christ. Haughty, sue, I believe that you are the Christ. By the infinitive, Luke 24:23, who say that he lives? This, of course, is Zane, who lives, that he lives. And then, just really, they say to live, see, but it really means that he lives, is what you translate indirect. Then by the participle, in 2 Thessalonians 3:11, for we hear that some among you walk disorderly, peripatuntas. There's some of you walking disorderly. We hear that some are walking. In other words, we hear, then this is the indirect discourse quoting that. Then there's indirect questions. Secondly, Mark 5:14, they came to see what had happened. They came to see it ain't T estin. See, what is to the togigonos? What is happened or what has happened? See? And then indirect commands, there's three different modes of expression by the infinitive. Acts 21:4, who were telling Paul not to not go to Jerusalem. That's a split infinitive. To not go should be enough to go. Right? See that split infinitive? They were telling him, well, don't go to Jerusalem, but this is put in indirect commands, telling him not to go. That's a command in the original, but it's changed into infinitive there. Then by hen and huppos with a subjunctive, Mark 6:8, he commanded them to take nothing for the journey, paragelion, he commanded them that they might take nothing. With a subjunctive, hena, airosin. All right, then the indirect deliberative question they put may imply an original command, but I shall warn you of whom you shall fear. Luke 12:5. Tina phobethete. It would imply, who shall I fear? A question there in the original, or maybe a command. Fear this or fear that. And so this is what they have for the indirect commands. Any questions on the indirect discourse? This is somewhat difficult to follow sometimes, but you can see that it's a quote of a quote. You can understand better how you translate. All right, the final clause is our commands and prohibitions. The future tense, occasionally the future is used in the sense of a command. In the aorist tense, prohibitions with the aorist subjunctive. You have in the prohibition the second person, the aorist tense is used. In the third person, either subjunctive or imperative is used. For instance, Luke 10:4, top of page 300. Salute no one, nobody along the way. Medina kata tein padan aspastese. Aspastese. That would be a command in the aorist prohibition. Salute no one along the way. And then the aorist imperative commands. This is the subjunctive. Aspastese. 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 Yeah. Would be your subjunctive. The imperative in commands, which is a normal way of doing it, Matthew, let him take up his cross at once, aorist, and follow me continuously. So here's the aorist, aratto, let him take up. Here's the imperative in commands. So that's one command. In the present tense, the imperative used for both commands and prohibitions. Present imperative and commands, Matthew 9:9. Continuous repeated action, in other words, he says, follow me, continue to follow me. And we found that tonight, didn't we, John? Continue, akulute. Continue to follow me. And then on page 301, the present imperative and prohibitions, make clinita, stop judging. See, because it's the present prohibition in present time. Stop judging. You've already begun to judge. And that's important that we get that distinction. And then the aorist subjunctive present imperative and prohibitions contrasted. We've seen this many times. The prohibition expression of the present tense demands what? Top of page 302.
Already started.
So you have to stop what started already. And that's why in 2 Corinthians 6:14, being unequally yoked together with unbelievers, just stop being unequally yoked. It's the present prohibition. See, you've already been unequally yoked, now quit it, says Paul. Then the prohibition expression of aorist time is a warning about what? Not even start. May is in case. That's that word to lead, isn't it, Ruth? That Pharaoh. Do not ever even begin to lead us into temptation. Doesn't stop leading us. No, don't even start. Luke 11:4. All right, any other questions or comments on our Dana and Matthew or anything else? Well, we've enjoyed this time together. I speak for myself. I hope you have as well. What does it look like for the Hebrew picture? Bill has graciously given us the Yeats Essentials of Biblical Hebrew. That's one of the texts that they used at Dallas Seminary. I remember after later years, we used Davidson's, but they used this. Now, this one has a total of 38 lessons. And then it has the syntax of Hebrew verbs and the numerals and so on and so forth. Some of the other things at the back, starting 121. So I would think that maybe that's what they use in the second year. I don't know about. But the syntax sort of, maybe it's probably a grammatical thing and it's helpful. But the actual lessons are 38 in number. Now, if we were to take Hebrew next year, I'm just thinking in terms of if we took a 2 hours, one semester, 2 hours, another semester, that'd be one thing.
That would give us, if it's 38, that'd give us 19 lessons, wouldn't it? 19 lessons mm-hmm. each time. I would think they're broken up in this fashion. That would mean that we would have some, if it's a 15 weeks of actual study, we'd have four lessons that we'd take two of, see? And the others we would take one of. Does that seem a reasonable type of thing? That these lessons seem to be all right. I would take it since we have, see, we'd be making for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You could sometimes take it. Last time when we took our Davis for Greek, we took a
3 hours.
Was 3 hours, wasn't it? But we had 2 hours, see, 3 hours, 3 hours, and then 2 hours, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
And we took a lesson and a half, didn't we, each 3 hour period? I think so, took a lesson and a half, yeah. Here, we would have to take a lesson each, but on some occasions we would make that up. See, there are 38 for the, if we took 2 hours, and 2 hours making it 4 hours. We would take the 19 and 19 post-semester. We only have 15 weeks, let's say, so we'd have four other weeks that would be left over, so we'd take a lesson and a half sometimes, right? And sort of sneak up on it. Maybe a lesson would be a little easier than another lesson. Well, that's probably what would be a good idea to do, don't you think, Ruth? I think that would give us enough of an insight into it, and without taking a whole lot of extra time. And that may be a little easier for some folk, too. We just, if we started at 7 till 9, I don't know what your schedule looks like. That would be a 7 till 8:40, like we're doing right now, or 7:30 till whatever. But
so it would be about a two-hour night?
Yeah, it would be an hour and 40 minutes. See?
Hour and 40 minutes,
yeah,
okay.
Be, wouldn't that be right? Excuse me. It'd be 100 minutes, which would be an hour and 40 minutes, wouldn't it?
That's right.
So that'd be the same as we have right now.
Okay. Any night of the week?
It'd be Tuesday or Thursday, right? If we keep it as present, unless there's some strange reason why we'd have to change it, it would be a Thursday night. That would probably be the... Ruth, is that all right with you?
I think so, yeah.
And Bill, and you check with your pastor friends. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And
also, I talked to a guy today at work, and he's in our room already.
My wife thinks that we should, if we're going to do this, we should advertise in our Bible for that news report right now. Let them know in case there'd be other people who'd be interested. See, now if there are more than what we had been having, we'd have to make other arrangements for. This room is a little tight, see. Mm-hmm. Maybe my wife is offered her dining room table. I certainly hope we don't make it up too hard. Anyhow, we could do that, because that's a pretty long table. That's a big table. That'd probably be the wise thing, to go ahead around that table, because it's a little tight.
Mm-hmm.
There's no room to roam. I mean, you can't, especially if there are many more than three. See, now hopefully there'll be maybe three, four, maybe there'll be five, six. I don't know what it'll be. But anyhow, if we advertise it, I think that'd be helpful. And I'll look at this, Bill, and I'll give it back to you, give you a call or something. I don't want you to... Please call me if you have a question. And Ruth can look it over, too, I guess, while she's here. And we'll take a look, see what... But Yates is an old standby. I think he's Southern Baptist, I recall. Harper, Kyle Yates, professor. Yeah, Southern Baptist in Louisville, yeah. And that's originally written in 1938 and dedicated to John Sampi, a comparable master teacher in the Hebrew Old Testament.
I remember Dr. Mann saying something about the syntax involves, even in the syllabus, it talks about, or in the catalog, it talks about the syntax going into more, in some of parts of the Old Testament as part of
sort of exegesis, yeah. Now, normally they have for Hebrew, we have 3 hours, each semester, six all together. In Greek, they always had 4 hours and 4 hours for beginning course, 8. But Hebrew, they sort of cut corners a little bit. I know at Dallas Center, when I was going there, they had 3 and 3. And then the other courses in the second year, they had 2 and 2, just 2 hour courses. And sort of. But I think if we take a 2, I don't think that'd be too far off, since you have a 4 hour and 4. They just have 1 year of Hebrew, 4 and 4. Is that right?
Right.
4 hours, 4 hours at his seminary. So I think if we take that first 4, see, with 2 and 2, you at least have an equal multiple. If they were wanting to grant you that credit based upon examination successfully, they could do so. I think that'd be good. If we break it into 3 and 3, 6, well, they don't have any 6. So how could they grant you, and you'd just be losing it or doing something, which it wouldn't be And that, I think we'd get enough out of it with the two, myself, and we'd get a grasp of things. All right, one of you please close in a word of prayer. Lord, we'll lead you as we close tonight.
Father, we just thank you for this time that we've had this semester around your word and this language. Yes. Father, we just thank you for all the things that we've learned and how you've blessed us and increased our knowledge of the word, yes. Lord, and pray you give us wisdom as we impart this knowledge to others as well, primarily, Lord, just to ourselves, make application to our lives. And we thank you for that you've allowed each of us students to be here as many times as we have, and for our teacher, Lord, for the things that you've taught him in the past, Lord, he's been gracious to share with us, and thank you for the knowledge and the ability that you've given him. And I just pray, Lord, that he would take these things that we've learned and just and plant them in our hearts and minds, Lord, that we might just continue to study the language and your word, that we might just might become real masters of it, Lord. Also, I pray, Lord, for this summer that you might give us rest, but also that we might be diligent to continue our studies and on our own, and also that you'd be with Dr. Waite as he has the summer off and just rest his mind, Lord, and also give him the time as he needs it to further his studies in these different areas, as well as visiting his folks. And Lord, we just appreciate the opportunity to plan for this study in Hebrew language, and just pray that you would bless that it might be able to be worked out, that we might just grasp the Old Testament as we've had a new understanding of the New. And we just pray that through publicity, Lord, and word of mouth, that we might get the word out to others, that they might have the same desires and the time to come and study Hebrew language with us, Lord. And now we just pray you dismiss us with your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay.
You're not going to let your mind rest, are you?